Certainly, we're grateful to God to be back this afternoon and be with you all and be able to share with you from the Word of God. Good to have those who are visiting with us, and we pray today that you will enjoy the worship with us. Amen. With a good worship on this morning. Amen. Want to obey the gospel, and we're so thankful to know that the gospel has yet had the power to save mankind. Job chapter number 16. Last week, I got into, I talked to you all about the experiences I had, especially with my wife going through so many health issues and things, make you think about why things come upon us. And I talked about last week how Job was saying, God has performed this thing that he appointed to me. What I talked about last week was the importance of understanding that the will of God is going to be done in our lives. Life will send us trauma. Life will send us tragedy. Life will send us ups and downs, and life will throw at us curveballs. However, those of us who are children of God accept the will of God in our lives. God, then I use Job as an example, one who lost 10 children on one day. He had sores from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. And Job's wife even spoke as a foolish woman. Today in Job chapter 16, I want to put emphasis on the fact that God is the only comforter that we can depend on. In Job chapter 16, in verse number 1, the Bible says, Then Job answered and said,
I have heard many such things.
Then he says, miserable comforters are you. Y'all, and Job's friends had it all wrong. Job's friend, in this case, he's coming right out to talk. Eliphaz had talked about Job, pretty much just called him a hypocrite. So his friends were confident that Job had done something against God's will, and it wasn't nothing like that going on. There was a conversation between God and Satan, and God asked Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job?" And at that time, Satan responded to God and said, "You have a hedge around him." And those, that's a seal of God. We have the Holy Spirit, we're hedged by and God. But when God allows sickness to come into our lives, when God allows death to come to our homes, when God allows us to be downtrodden because something is going on in our life, when tribulations come, when trials come, God has performed. God allowed it. He put it in action. And those of us who are dependent on God, we trust that God has done his will, and that's how Job lived. Now, there were going to be people around us make other kind of noises in our ear to get us thinking otherwise. But Job listened to his friends and said, "You all are miserable comforters. Miserable comforters are ye all. Shall vain words have an end? At what point do you stop speaking things that have no meaning to my life and to my situation?" And this is something here that's going on. How, what emboldened thee that thou answered? Job is asking them, what good are you doing me by the things that you're saying? They were saying things that were not helping him. What he was suffering was not a result of sin. They were wrong. Their words had no meaning. We should be careful that when people are going through things, that we don't put vain words that have no meaning as if we know why God is allowing this to go in that person's life. You may not ever get over your sickness. It's God's will that you be sick. Is God putting you through this? Is God trying to strengthen you? Is God sending you through a tribulation? Is God allowing you to have an experience? And with the experience, you got to have some patience. And when you got patience, then you wait on God. But you can't listen to the noise. I'm trying to help us all to understand that the only dependable voice of comfort is God's. So, I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what your situation is. But I do know who your comforter is. You got to know going through your trial, going through your sickness, when the doctors can't come up with the right answer, when it's your loved one, when it's your life, you got to know God is your source of comfort. You look unto the hills from which cometh your help. That's what we do as children of God. But what we don't want to be are miserable comforters to those who are going through things.
If you have miserable comforters in your life, listen to for a few minutes this evening how Job dealt with the miserable comforters in his life. He said, I also could speak
as you do.
I could do like you're doing me. He said, if your soul
were in my soul,
if you were the one with sores all over your body, if you were the one that 10 children were dead on the same day, if you were the one that lost all of your possessions and you were rich and now you're poor, if you were like me, I could talk about you like you're doing me. See, we don't never know what another person is going through. That's what we need to understand. I know I've lived this for myself. There are times when people can criticize you. They can come down on what you should be doing. But at the end of the day, you don't know what I'm going through. You don't know what the other person, everything don't look good. That's good. Everything, you can't look at another person and say, oh, well, you know what? They're worse off than me, or they're better off than I am. Even though when we think we got it bad, look around. There are other people who are worse than we are. I mean, there are people who are in the bed. They're not taking medicine. They can't talk. They can't walk. They can't. And here you are up and walking, up and talking, able to come to worship. People wish they could come. What are you saying, Brother Brooks? I'm saying we have to keep it in perspective that, yeah, we can talk about another person's situation, but we don't always understand what another person is going through. When we don't understand it, then we should not be miserable comforters in their lives. Job said, I could heap up words against you and shake my head at you. He said, oh, boy, look at what he did. Look what she going. Look at this. Look at that. But he said, notice what he says.
But I would strengthen you.
I wouldn't do that to you. What I would do, I would strengthen you with my mouth. Well, let me tell you something. We ought to be strengtheners as comforter. We ought to be strengtheners, encouraging people. And you see a person down. We ought to be encouraging, strengthening them. Not trying to understand what they're going through necessarily. We may not ever understand what another person is going through, but we can always say words of comfort, words of strengthening them. Job said, "I would strengthen you."
With my mouth.
I will use my mouth to strengthen you. What are we using our mouth for? Vain words, or do we use our mouth to strengthen people? Then he said,
and the moving of my lips should assuage your grief.
It would assuage. He said, I wouldn't be like you. My mouth would assuage or relieve the grief. But he said, I would use my mouth to help you get through it. You can't look at another person and know all they're going through. But you can say things to help them get through it. You can help them along the way. Give them some words of encouragement, something to strengthen them. But look what Job said.
Though I speak, my grief is not assuaged.
I'm talking, I'm talking, but I ain't at ease. Job is hurting. I mean, have you been hurting before? You've been hurting, and sometimes the people around you act like they don't even know you hurting. They don't even know you hurting. Husband and wife should know when the husband is hurting. The wife ought to know when her husband is hurting. The husband ought to know when his wife is hurting. Sometimes we need to understand that you ain't the only one in the relationship that's hurting. Too much on one. Too much on the other. You're not the only one in the church hurting. There are a lot of people hurting in the church. And then if we're comforted, we're not miserable comforted. Job is saying, I'm not at ease. Do I look like I'm okay? There are people who come in here, we know they're not okay. So we shouldn't put further burdens on them. Because I could be wrong in my judgment. Couldn't I? What are you saying, brother? I'm saying, brothers and sisters, we don't know what God is going to perform in our lives. We don't know who's next on the deathbed, do we? We don't know who the next person is going to have a stroke. We don't know who's going to come up with stage 4 cancer next. We don't know who's going to be in the hospital and can't get out. We know nothing about what's getting ready to happen to our life, but what we can do is commit to be the kind of comforters that Job didn't have. Job had miserable comforters.
And Job said, do y'all not see me? Don't y'all understand my grief is not relieved? Watch how he explained his grief.
But now he had made me weary.
I'm weary. He made me desolate.
Thou hast made me desolate.
He's without anything now. And thou hast filled me with wrinkles.
Which is a witness against me.
Witness against me, my leanness.
Rising up in my buried witness. And rising up in me, buried witness to my face.
If you just look, something, you know, it's saying, look at my face. Look at my body. Brothers and sisters, we are a family. And there are times when you should be able to look at Brother Brooks and say, man, something ain't right. There are times we should be able to look at a brother or sister who's going through things. They're not okay. It's in their face. It's in their body. The leanness is not there. When a brother moves slower than he used to move, they're not as often at church. That don't mean they're being unfaithful. We can't judge that like that. It could be they're going through a sickness that don't allow them to come anymore. We don't know what folk are going through. See, look at the Job says, just look at me. Just look at my face. Should we not pay attention to the countenance of those around us? What about our family members? You know, I ought to know when Sharon is hurting. I ought to be able to tell just looking at her. I can tell. You should be able to do. That's why we say, when we bear one another's what? Burdens. So fulfill the law. Notice what he says. He teared me in wrath.
He hated me.
Who hated me? He gnashed it upon me with his teeth.
My enemy sharpened his eyes upon me.
He's right. Because the enemy is not God. The enemy is Satan. Satan has been allowed by God and God's permissive will of allowed. But Satan is the one who wanted to get to him. Satan wanted to get to him. God is not his enemy. God loves him because God said, have you considered my servant Job? That's what he said. That's what he asked him. And notice it says, they have gaped
upon me with their mouth.
You know, folk are just quick to talk about people. He said, look at these miserable comforters just gape their mouth. And gape means wide open. Like, you know, they got wide open gap. That's what it is. Just blurted out things about people. We have to be careful about what we judge about what people are going through and why they're going through and what they're dealing with. It doesn't matter what we think we can be wrong. Amen. Open our mouth, speaking loud about things that we can't really confirm that's right or wrong. Should we be doing that as comforters? No. They gaped upon me with their mouth. They have smitten me.
Look upon the cheek reproachfully.
Cheek reproachfully. They have gathered together against me. This is how Job feels about his friends. I don't want nobody feeling like that against me, about me. How many of you all want someone feeling that way about you? Man, you know, that's my view of Brother Brooks, that he's against me. As a brother, sisters in Christ, we should feel like we're all on the same what team. We're there one for another. Notice that God had delivered me
to the ungodly.
Turned me over.
Into the hands of the wicked.
He's right. He just don't know. He wasn't there to hear the conversation, but he's saying God allowing this to happen. How many of y'all got something going on in your life right now that you're blaming somebody else? You can say this. God allowed it to happen to me. Now, if I believe that God allowed it to happen to me, I can also add this. All things work together for good to them that love God. So is your illness good or bad? Is the death of your sister good or bad? Is the diagnosis good or bad? When we accept the will of God, all things
together for good. He said, brother, but I can't see this. I don't. You ain't the one sick. I understand. It's your lot. That's what last week. Go back and get that one. This thing has God performed, and it's to your good. Because if I hadn't performed it, you follow what I'm saying? If I hadn't made that move on you, God could have headed off your soul being lost because he gave you a chance. I had to put some sickness in your life to stop you from. You follow what I'm saying? Y'all missed it, huh? So is death good or bad? Good. That don't even sound right, does it? How can you say that? The devil, my mother, was good. If all things work together for my good, because if the death of my mama make me stop and think about how far I am away from God and I come back to him, wasn't that to my good? Because guess what? As Floyd would say, guess what? Ain't nobody going to escape death. So that appointment is going to be performed like everything else in our life. But if my soul is saved, it was my good, wasn't it? Let me get a couple more thoughts in. I'll turn this lesson over to you. God, he said, notice Job stating his situation before it all came down on him. He said, I was at ease.
But he had broken me asunder.
But now I'm torn apart. You know, things are going good in life. We don't call on God a whole lot. Now, most times you hear prayer requests if somebody wanting God to take something away from them. And so Job said, at the time before all this came up on me, I was at ease. But he had broken me asunder. God got a way of bringing us back to where he needs us. And also, he had also taken me by my neck. He said, it feel like God had took me and shook me by my neck. Like
and
that.
Shaking me to pieces
and set me up. Like he marked me. He marked me. He put a mark on me. He said, have you considered my servant Job? He did. God marked him. His archers come past me about. Cleave my reins asunder and doth not spare. He poured out my gall upon the ground. He breaketh me with the breach upon breach. He running upon me like a giant. He's saying the enemy is like he, everywhere I go, the enemy's got the arrow on me. And the archers are good. Archers would pull the arrow out and they would aim it at their target and hit them. So when God pulled the arrow of diabetes out of my wife, he hit him. When he pulled the arrow of whatever you got going on in your life, he marked you, he pulled it. He performed his mark. He picked me. And when God performed and shoot the arrow, it's going to hit the mark. But his children say, it's the will of God. His children are able to say, it's the will of God. When trials and suffering come upon us that's big as a giant, and sometimes life can do that to you. You can be doing good. Things can be going good. And all of a sudden, this big giant in your life come and just tear your life apart. That's sad that we can't see it like that, can we? Trials dark on every hand. Might not understand how God gonna get us to that blessed promised land. Notice what he says. I have sold sackcloth upon my skin
and defiled my horn in the dust.
Job was down in ashes and sackcloth. He's at the bottom of his life. My face is foul with weeping. He's been crying.
And on my eyelids is the shadow of death.
I see I'm gonna die. I don't see nothing but death coming. Notice what he says now.
not for any injustice
in my hands.
Also my prayer is pure.
Now he come back. He started saying, I can say to my friends, these miserable comforters, yes, I'm going through something. Yes, I got sores. Yes, my children died. Yes, my wife talked like a foolish woman. Yes, I lost everything, but I'm going to take a firm stand as this. My grief is not because I'm injustice, not because I've done something wrong. I don't know why, but I do know this. I'm okay with God. I'm at peace with God. My prayers are pure. And here's a powerful lesson for all of us, that no matter how sick I am, I ought to be in a situation where I'm okay with God. I'm at peace with God. I can pray to God, and I accept the will of God.
Amen. That's what his children do.
That's what he wants from his children. He wants us to accept his will. This life is not intended for us to be happy.
This life is a life of suffering. And when we suffer for the cause of Christ, the life we are preparing for is eternal life.
But see, I tell you what, at the age of 50, I guarantee you, all of us in here could probably say, there are things going on in my body now that wasn't going on when I was 20. Amen. You know, we got to start facing some things, you know. Huh? You got to start facing them. You start getting all up toward that 3 score, which is 60, and some of the over 3 score and 10 and plus 10s and plus 10. And things start to change. Amen. I remember a time about 5 years ago, you didn't even have no gray in your beard, brother. Oh, but you got gray now. That's something. He done got a lot older since I seen him. I met you. When was that, 5 years ago? We baptized you. Boy, you got a lot of gray in your beard now. That's right, but I do too. You know, if we look back 5 years, me and you both are a lot darker in here. But I'm glad you read for me because I get to pick on you. How many of y'all remember when you had hair on your head? Brother Huckabee, you remember? All I'm saying, y'all, is that we are marching to the long home. We are on our way home. We're going back to the grave. It's a fact. And on our way, we're going to go through some troubles. On our way to the grave, we're going to have some trials, some tribulations, physical sicknesses, mental challenges, emotional breakdowns. But because we got God, we're going to be all right. Amen. Because the Bible said the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But he turns his face against them that do evil. In closing, verse 18, he said, O earth,
cover not thou my blood,
and let
my cry have no place.
He wants God to hear him now. He's pleading for him here as I close. He said, also, now here's where I want to be. Also, now here's what Job is firm where he's at with God. And that's what I want us to be. It doesn't matter about the miserable comforters around us. You got to know your relationship with God is whole. You got to know you're okay with God. Job is saying to his friends, look here. He said, behold, look.
My witness is
you can say what you want to say, but the one who know is in heaven. And here's what I do know. Not only is my witness in heaven,
and my record is on high,
but what's going on in my life is recorded in heaven. It's on high. It's with God. God know everything. Job said, I don't know the answers, but I know who my witness is, and I know where my record is. He said, my friends scorn me,
but my eye pour out tears unto God.
You can talk about me, but I'm going to cry to God all the time. Oh, that one might plead for a man with God as a man pleaded for his neighbor. When a few years have come, Job said, I know I ain't got it. I'm going through it now. I don't know why. That's what we have to say. We ain't trying to figure out the whys. We know the who. The who. And when we know the who, we know the witness, we know where the record is at, and then we plead him because we ain't got but a few years here anyway, and I'm going to go
the way whence I shall not return.
And I'm never coming back to this place. Boy, so what is he saying? Can we count on man to be our comforter?
No.
No, ma'am, no, sir. Y'all remember Solomon when he went out and tried life without God in chapter 4, Ecclesiastes? He said, so I return. And he said, look at them. The tears of such that were oppressed, they had no comforter. These were the people without God have no comforter. But those of us with God, even though we may be going through and troubled by things in this life, we have a comforter. Jesus told him, I will not leave you comfortless. He left them the comforter, which was the Holy Spirit. And when we obey the gospel, we have the comforter. But we serve the God of all comfort. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. That's what Paul said. Get that, 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 4. The Bible said, listen to this. But Bible said, notice what he says. And this is my last verse.
Who comforted us in all
verse 3. Get verse 3.
Blessed be God. Even the Father of our
even
Lord
the Father
Jesus
of Jesus Christ.
The Father of mercy.
Who is he? The Father of mercy and the God
of all comfort.
Here he is. This is what Job had going for him. This is what we got going for us as children. He's the God of all comfort who comforted us.
In all our tribulations.
In all of our trials. He's comforted us when we're at the hospital. He's comforted us when we're at the funeral home. He's comforted us when we're going through things. He's comforted us. He's comforted us when our loved one is sick. He's comforted us when we are caretakers. He's comforted us. He's the God we're depending on. That's why we say, look to the hills from which cometh your help. It's not coming from people. Then he says what?
That we may be able to.
And the reason
them.
God puts tribulation in your life and comfort you so that you
may be able to comfort them.
So
which
you
are
not a
trouble.
Miserable comforter. So if God don't put us through things and love, and we know he comforted us, then he said, I give you this, I'll comfort you. So you, during your trial, once you are comforted, then you can comfort someone else. And the only way we comfort other people is we point them to the comforter, and that's God himself. How can we not be miserable comforters? Make sure we know who our comforter is, and then push people to the comforter, and that is God himself. Because he's sending you through what you're going through, so you're going to have an experience. And now that you get the experience, you know where your comfort came from. And you take that experience and comfort your brother. Amen. Good lesson. Don't be what? A miserable comforter. If you're here today and you're not a child of God, you adopt the comforter. And what Solomon said on the side of the oppressor was power. Ecclesiastes 4. They were without a comforter, and the oppressor was Satan. And they were crying because they didn't have God. If you don't have God in your life, you have no comforter. And the side of the oppressor is power. What Job had was a comforter because he had God. And it wasn't comfort from the sores. It wasn't comfort from the death of his children. It was the relationship that he had that made the difference. And what's going to make a difference for us? Relationship. Not membership. Relationship. No matter what's going on with membership, you'll be okay as long as you got relationship. Amen?
Amen.
You do that by hearing how Jesus came to this world, hung, bled, and died, and suffered on a cross of Calvary for 6 hours. He would suffer on that cross for all of us to be saved. God loved us and gave his son. His son gave his life on that cross. He suffered on it. He bled on it. And he came to save us. And he said himself to go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. That gospel is that death, burial, and resurrection story of a suffering Savior. You must believe that with all of your heart. Confess Jesus to be the Son of God. Repent of your sins. And then be baptized for the remission of your sin. Lord will add you to the true church, the only church, the church of Christ. And you live faithful unto death. And then God will give you your rest. You know what our rest is? Not in this life. Our rest. That's why he said, blessed are the dead that die in the Lord. For they do rest from their labors. And their works do follow. Our rest is not in this life. Our rest is on the other side. And I'm so glad that I'm a child of God. Because I'm going through things, aren't you? Life can be tough, y'all. But I don't want to ever be a miserable comforter. I don't want to be that person. I don't want to be that person. But if I have those kind of people in my life, I already know that he'll never let me down. God will always be my comforter. You need him in your life. You ought to come get him tonight by being baptized for remission of sin, or repent of your sins, confessing him, confessing your sins tonight, coming to the Lord through prayer. We're gonna ask you to come. We're getting ready to pray with you if you want to come. We'll do it as together we stand and sing.